Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD HD. I'm Gregory Berg. And it's a pleasure to welcome into our studios for his monthly visit to the program, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. President Albrecht, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Greg. And Happy New Year to you also. It's amazing that we're already into the third week of January, and here we are, our first effort to have our morning show.
So right. And of course, we're in the middle of the first week of a brand new semester. Give our listeners just some sense of what that means, what the kind of things that are going on here at Gateway, both in and out of the classrooms.
Yeah, you know, I'm always so proud that every day there's an exciting event happening at Gateway, but when you start a new semester, that's a pretty special time. Students are excited to be back, and, you know, classrooms have been refreshed, and our faculty had their batteries recharged over the holiday break, and so we're up and running. And yes, we have a lot of activities. The first week of campus, we hold what's called Welcome Back Days for our students, and special events take place on the campuses. I visited a few of those. We had an emoji t-shirt making day, so you could get a free t-shirt, and school supplies where we help students with their notebooks and pens, the traditional things that you'd want to give to students. And then, of course, different lunch events that we had to try to help them become acquainted with some of the support services and engage students in ways that they maybe hadn't thought about, the different levels of support that we can provide here at the college. So I had a terrific week. I had a chance to visit all the campuses and say hello to a lot of students and meet a lot of new students and welcome back all of our teachers and our adjunct instructors.
Very good. I know that something else that makes you very happy is the opening of the new IT center on the Racine campus. Explain to our listeners what this facility is all about and what it offers.
Yeah, let me try to paint a picture. It's kind of like if you've seen the movie Star Wars and all of the lights and flashing components. It is probably one of the most sophisticated IT centers that I have been privileged to be a part of. So this is a combination of all of our information technology programs. So from computer literacy to networking to programming to cybersecurity, and the facility has been under renovation for about 9 months over on the Racine campus, and we put a lot of glass and open wall space so that our students and our community members can see the type of technology that's being taught here at the college. And it's really a remarkable setting because now faculty and students can begin to build projects together. They can work across disciplines, and they can take a look at how fast the IT industry is changing and really begin to think about their careers in a new and exciting way. So I'm really excited about the new facility and the way that has already generated interest and support from students. We are definitely know that the IT industry is in high demand. That is one of the most prolific occupations right now. Anyone that has skills in computer technology can really help develop their own career pathway. And so Gateway's been really forefront in making sure that we provide the types of services that are necessary for our students to get the skill sets to get the jobs in our communities.
Excellent. It's going to be fun to see that with
yes.
my own eyes one of these days. In the meantime, I know one other thing that you're excited about, although it does mean a few more responsibilities on your already full plate, is the fact that you are taking over chairmanship of the Racine County United Way.
Yes.
Tell us what prompts you to do this.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. It's really important to me personally to be able to find ways to give back to the community. And I've been involved with United Way for over 30 years, going back to my days in Madison. And then when I came to the Southeast Wisconsin area, I supported the Kenosha United Way as their board chair for several years. And last year, Rodney Prutney came and asked me if I'd be willing to help serve as the chair of the Racine County United Way. campaign this next year. And so Sue Boland is the current chair, and she'll end her term in at the end of January. And I'm just so proud of the work that she's done. So it was an easy way for me to step into an already existing, very supportive United Way leadership team. And honored to do that. Hopefully we can provide some additional opportunities for Racine County United Way, and that'll build into Kenosha and Walworth County, and to engage our employers in new ways of supporting our community. So excellent. Thank you for mentioning that.
Very good. So a very, very interesting and important topic confronts us today, and it involves these three letters, GED, that, of course, a lot of people know something about. In fact, we just ran a story yesterday about what we're going to really talk about quite extensively today. Explain why this is such an important topic and why we are devoting this morning show to this.
Yeah, I might step back just a little bit. You know, this is my 12th year at Gateway, and before I came to Gateway, I worked at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction as the Director of Career and Technical Education. And one of the responsibilities that I had was to oversee the state GED initiative. So I've been actively involved in trying to help find pathways for GED students for many years. And as we really started to kind of unwind the circumstances of our own communities here in southeast Wisconsin, it was pretty prevalent that there is more that we can do. We need to help find ways for people to find access to education so that they can better their lives and improve the opportunities that they have for future employment and really help change the dynamics of the communities that we live in. And so about maybe 3 or 4 months ago, I was approached by Hope Cotner from the Workforce Development Center to see if Gateway would be interested in helping to support a major initiative, which we'll talk about, and that's specifically targeting Racine County and helping to assure that we do everything we can to provide community awareness. This program is one of those efforts. And community involvement to help support individuals that maybe haven't completed their high school diploma and want to go back and get that credential that will allow them to access greater services of employment throughout our communities. Mm.
Well, we're going to get to it with two special guests that you've asked to join us here. First of all, Cindine Jennings, who is Dean of Developmental Education, and then Katie Kasperzik, who is GED Outreach Coordinator for the Racine County Workforce Development Center. So we'll be coming at this from two different angles, and we welcome both of you to our program. Glad you can be here. Cindine Jennings, let's begin with you. So tell us a little bit about how long you have been here at Gateway Technical College and what your responsibilities are as Dean of Developmental Education.
So thank you for having me. I've been at Gateway for 16 years now, to be 17 years in October. So I oversee the Adult Basic Education Program, the English Language Learner Program, and the Adult High School Program. So those are three areas where we work with individuals that are trying to get their high school credential or learn English as a second, third, or even fourth language.
Wow.
You know, I think what sometimes we don't really appreciate is that there's literally thousands of students in those programs. So this is a large component of the service that Gateway provides. And it's not often as visible because it doesn't, you know, get on the front page of the paper for a welding job or a nursing job. But it's fundamental for anyone getting a welding job or a nursing job. You've got to have those basic skills.
This is like the first step.
Yes.
So can you tell us what sort of led you to be interested in this particular sort of kind of education or this particular facet of what Gateway does? What's sort of been your own journey to the position that you now have and the work that you're doing?
Sure. My background is in social work and school counseling. So prior to coming to Gateway, I was a high school counselor. Before that, I benefited from growing up in a family where education was valued. My mom was an academic advisor. My dad was a veterinarian. So college was always just something that kids did. So we also went to private school. So when I got into social work and education, that's when I began to see and really understand and really appreciate it that not everybody has the same opportunities when it comes to education, to work, to access. So it was really important for me to figure out how could I, as one individual, help remove some barriers and help provide access to people, whether it's in education, improving work circumstances, whatever it could potentially be.
I'm always intrigued on how people found their way to Gateway, Cindy. And so, you know, those years ago, what was the key thing that said, hey, Gateway looks like an organization that would fit my personal values and I could provide a great service to our students?
Zena Haywood, who is our executive vice president and the provost of our college. So while I was working over at Bradford High School, I had an opportunity to develop a friendship with her husband and in turn met Zena, who began to talk with me about Gateway. And we knew about Gateway because, of course, we sent our students to Gateway. We had the Youth Options Program and things like that. So there were two counseling positions that became available at the time, and so she really encouraged me to throw my name into the ring there and apply for one of the positions. So that's how I ended up here at the college. So
I love that. It is really about building networks, and I think the programs that we're talking about today are helped to establish individuals within that network, within our community, and that can really add value in many ways, not only the credentials that they'll earn, but the people they'll meet, and those relationships last forever.
Very good. Katie Kasperzak?
Kasperzak.
Kasperzak. Yes, Casper the Friendly Ghost, you're saying. That's how we remember this. So you are, again, the GED Outreach Coordinator for the Racine County Workforce Development Center. Give us the story on how you became affiliated with them.
Sure, absolutely. So last spring, the GED initiative kind of took birth, in a sense. We started to, a committee was formed with United Way, Department of Corrections, Racine Unified, the Racine Literacy Council, Workforce Solutions. And in this partnership, they started to realize that this GED initiative is a top priority, and it's probably going to take a little bit more work than what everybody could provide. So I was, in October, I was hired on as the GED Outreach Coordinator, in which I'm kind of working to, you know, get our message out to the community, to kind of be that connection between the community and the organizations, try and align the community organizations. There's a lot of really great programs and organizations out there already that help get people their GEDs or support them in those services, so making sure I can connect people to those services in the community.
Hmm. Did you already work at the County Workforce Development Center before you took this new position?
I was actually working with Racine County in the Human Services Department. So I was helping people get food share and health care benefits. I did that for about a year, so I'm pretty familiar with a lot of the services that the community has to offer. Prior to that, I spent 5 years in Houston teaching high school. So I also have an education background as well. So I feel like I have a good understanding of some of the barriers that, you know, students may struggle and face when they're in high school, but I also know some of the current concerns that members of our community have and challenges that they face. So I think it's kind of a good background to have to approach this position.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note that the Workforce Development Center and Gateway Literacy Council have all been working for many years mm-hmm. on the GED initiatives, but I believe this is the first time that a designated position has mm-hmm. been authorized through the Workforce Development Center. So you can see the heightened level of interest and awareness mm-hmm. and to create greater opportunities. So we've been a proud partner for many years and just really glad to have Katie on board to help us navigate, if you will, some of the different strategies that the Workforce Development Center believes are important from what Gateway traditionally had been offering.
Cindy Jennings, maybe we can step back for a moment and have you spell out this acronym that we've already thrown around about 10 times already in this interview, but to make sure that all of our listeners understand what GED stands for. And a second acronym that's going to probably come up if it hasn't already, ABE.
So GED stands for the General Education Development, and just to give a little bit more information, it consists of five tests that individuals have to take in order to certify that they have now earned their high school credential. So we're looking at the areas of math, social science, science, reading through the language arts, and civics. Those are the five components of the GED. We also have our adult basic education, which is what ABE stands for. So in adult basic education, we provide the instruction for those individuals that are looking to get their GED. So if you need some additional help with math or social science, or it's been a while since you've been in school, you're able to come in and work with one of our ABE instructors or staff to get prepared to take the GED test.
And I think it's important that sometimes we think the GED is for someone that maybe just dropped out of high school, you know, didn't do what they were supposed to do when they were younger. And really, the GED can be used in many different circumstances. Might be someone new moving to our community that hadn't had a chance to go through our public education system and receive the credentials. It might be someone that, in fact, only a generation ago, like my own parents, where high school wasn't always as required as it is today. Mm. So they had good jobs. They didn't need to finish a high school. So eighth grade was about where my dad completed. And so you don't really think about how fast times have moved and how important credentialing is today, especially that high school diploma. So it's a lot of adults. It's still some youth as they work through some challenges in the traditional educational model. But it really helps cut across a broad spectrum of the communities that we live in.
So it's more of a mixed bag. Correct. Than some people might assume. That's exactly. important to know. Katie, you've already touched on this, but maybe you can say a word more about why this whole matter of the GED has become such a high priority. Why is this so important right now?
Absolutely. So two of the main goals for Racine County is economic growth and development. So we're looking to bring new businesses and industries and grow the ones that we have currently, and also to develop a work-ready workforce. And I'm not sure if we don't think we touch on the numbers, but the numbers are pretty staggering. Currently, there are 15,000 people in Racine County alone that do not have a high school diploma or equivalency degree, and 9,000 of those are in the city of Racine alone.
And are we talking about adults?
Adults.
So that's not just young people who have yet to reach that, but we're talking about people who, for all intents and purposes, should have their high school degree but don't.
Correct. So that number, you know, is a staggering number.
It really is.
And if, you know, the first step in trying to get employed and the most basic qualification that most companies and businesses require is that high school diploma or equivalency degree. So if we have unfilled positions, we're not going to be growing and developing. And we also have a lot of people in the community that can't find, you know, good paying jobs or jobs that can support their families. So it really is a top priority right now because of those issues.
And you can see how this can become sort of a linchpin for individual success, not only getting their credential, but then opening some opportunities. But for employers who are hiring people who maybe need additional math or reading skills or whatever skill set it might be in order to advance those individuals within their current workforce. So it's critical that we'd find ways to integrate the incumbent workforce training around adult basic skills and new employees, potential new employees coming with basic skills. And we've tried lots of strategies, and many are very successful. We do a lot with our boot camp training programs that we've talked about on this program before, which really target specific skill sets. And yet, we know that the GED credential is probably the most important. And so I'm really proud of this effort. But as you mentioned, Katie, the numbers are just sometimes can be overwhelming. 15,000 in the county and 9,000 in the city of Racine. I mean, that would quadruple the number of students that we've been able to serve in the past. So it's going to take a concerted community-wide effort in order to make this successful.
Cindy Jennings, when somebody needs their GED, at least in a general way, what are their options? Obviously, one of their options is Gateway. I assume there are other options as well. Can you kind of give us at least a general sense of that?
Sure. In our communities, particularly with the Literacy Council for the three counties, they have pre-GED programming that they have for our residents. And then in some of the local churches, there's some pre-GED programming going on. So with those programs, what they're doing is they're helping individuals gain confidence, individuals gain academic skills, and then we work in partnership to transition those students over to us to finish up their studies with us and then begin preparing for their GED test.
You know, it's important. Also, the GED has changed over the years. So I mentioned that I was involved in GED when I was back in Madison. It's not the same testing process as it was back then.
Oh.
And there's different strategies that are used in order to help people become successful in accomplishing the goal of a GED. So I think as people think about, oh, I tried this, or I heard about it, I started it, it didn't work for me, it's not the same as what it was even a couple of years ago. And we continue to refine our services at Gateway, working with the Literacy Council and local churches and other community-based organizations to find new ways of reaching those that want to accomplish this goal, and new support services, as well as the techniques around the testing process. And there's actually even a process now that's competency-based, so it's not all just about passing an exam.
Mm-hmm. For those of you just joining us, we are talking about the really important topic of the GED. with, first of all, Brian Albeck, the president of Gateway Technical College, with Cindy Jennings, who is dean of developmental education here at Gateway, and Katie Kasperzik, who is GED outreach coordinator for the Racine County Workforce Development Center. And, of course, the Workforce Development Center has undertaken a very special concerted initiative in cooperation between Racine County and Gateway Technical College to try to address what is a really, really serious situation in terms of all of the people in Racine County who lack their high school degree and can achieve its equivalent through this GED program. Cindy Jennings and Katie, you feel free to jump in on this. We're talking about a special initiative in Racine County. Is there something special and unique about the city of Racine and Racine County that this is an especially acute problem there? Or is this a problem that we see in all kinds of different places across the country?
Well, when you take a look at the counties that we serve, so we serve, Walworth County, Kenosha County, and Racine County. So we're starting to prepare for a new grant writing season. So I was looking at the numbers. So for Kenosha County, for those individuals that are 25 or older, 10% of the population does not have their high school credential. For those individuals living in Racine County, we're talking about 15%. And then in Walworth County, we're looking at close to 10% of individuals who don't have their high school credentials for a variety of reasons. So it's not just to Racine County. It's in the three counties that we serve. But in this instance, Racine happens to have the highest number of residents who don't currently have their high school credentials.
Hmm. And I think part of what we will learn from this effort will be some new best practices or promising practices that we'll be able to use in all the counties and all the work that we do, and hopefully share that across the state and across the nation as a society continue to advance our economic conditions, as Katie mentioned, and the types of skills that are required for individuals to be successful. It's like a generational change, right? We've got to find new ways to not only engage people in better understanding the value of learning and hopefully encourage young people to complete their credentialing at the high school level, and as we've talked about before, even add additional industry certifications along with it, some job experience, and all of the things that we know are important to advance a career, but to really drive that home in foundational learning. And this effort, I think, will draw a lot of those best practices out.
Katie, talk about some of the barriers that the typical person, the typical job seeker faces by not having a high school diploma. I mean, how serious a detriment is that to the typical person trying to find work?
Absolutely. So education level and employability go hand in hand. Just looking at the statistics about the labor force participation rate for someone that doesn't have a high school diploma is about 50%. So one in two people that don't have a high school diploma are going to struggle to find employment. Obviously, there's other factors that may play into that, but that is a pretty staggering number. Once you get that high school diploma, that labor force participation rate increases to 22%. So it is a really good first step for people that are looking to find employment. And if you don't have employment or don't have your high school diploma, the likelihood of living below the poverty line is also very prevalent. And just by getting your diploma, that median income can increase up to $4,000 a year. So like we kind of mentioned earlier, it's not the end-all be-all, but it is a really good first step for people that are looking to increase their employability and also increase their quality of life.
Mm-hmm. And I think it ties into some of the major initiatives that Racine particularly has been involved in, with the Higher Expectations Initiative, the Strive Initiative, the Academies of Racine, all of those efforts that have been really trying to align the opportunities for young people and adults to become engaged in workforce strategies. And I think this is another piece of that puzzle. So it's not a standalone separate initiative. It's really integrated into all of the other efforts that are taking place. And great credit to Racine County for having a broad vision and understanding that it takes preschool, it takes revisions of engagement at the middle and high school levels, but it also takes the adult learners, the GED, and that population to bring everyone together to support hopefully what's called a growing workforce in Racine County, but throughout Southeast Wisconsin. Hmm.
So, Katie, help us understand kind of the numbers and the reality of right now, why this is the moment when there is sort of this urgency surrounding this issue versus, for instance, 20 years ago.
Well, I think there was a recent survey out surveying local businesses in surrounding areas, and about 88% of businesses said that they cannot fill current positions. So there's a lot of unfilled positions out in the community. And if we're trying to attract new businesses and we're trying to grow our current businesses, if we can't fill the positions that are currently out there, why would a new business want to come into this area? So we kind of have touched on this. So that's why we really are. And like we said, we don't want this to stop at the high school credential and at the GED. We really are working together, hoping that people will go on to post-secondary, get those credentials in manufacturing and healthcare and the industries that are in high demand right now. So we, as a whole, our economy can grow.
You know, I think part of it is just simple demographics, right? If you take a look at just population, birth rates, and how long it takes to actually prepare someone to get into the workforce, we say it's 18 years, but really you've got some pre-learning going there, so you're really about 22 years, 23 years worth of development time, and many of our employers can't afford to wait 22 years for the next generation of workers, so we've got to find ways to look at all different techniques. And I heard Governor Walker in the State of the State a week ago talk about transitioning his comments from jobs, jobs, jobs to workforce, workforce, workforce. Huh? So in order to build a workforce and increase the capacity of the employers in our region, we've got to take a look at the existing body of workers and see if we can elevate their skill sets. And we know that if one in two individuals that do not have a GED are challenging to get into the workforce, even that one that did get in, limited growth opportunities. So incumbent workers that have not completed their high school diploma or their GED and maybe haven't gone after additional training beyond that can be a detriment for companies to grow, because it's that existing workforce that is really the foundation for their long-term success.
Hmm. Cindy and Jennings, tell us a bit about kind of the various pathways by which someone might want to pursue their GED. Is it kind of a one-size-fit-all, a single gauntlet that everyone has to run, or are there different ways that this can be pursued, maybe according to somebody's own circumstances or learning styles or whatever?
Sure. So there is the traditional GED testing, which is computerized testing for the five tests, whether civics, it's paper and pencil right now. But we also have an HSED program, which is our high school equivalency program, which is unique to the state of Wisconsin, and there's various options that are part of that. So as Brian talked about earlier, we have individuals that come to us from other countries that, for whatever reason, they're not able to get their actual document showing that they completed their high school credentials in their home country. So we have an option to be able to work with those individuals. We have individuals that have gone through our technical diplomas or associate degree programs but did not ever get their high school credentials. So we're able to take a look at those credits to see if perhaps they would fit into one of our HECD options there. And then I am so excited to announce that we got our renewal from the Department of Public Education or Instruction, excuse me, for our 509 program, which is our GED competency-based program, where our instructors work with individuals to see if that would be an appropriate fit for those students that, for whatever reason, can't take the computerized test. So we do have options out there. The key thing is, of course, getting people in to talk with our instructors so we can work together on what's the best option for students.
Yeah, I think Cindy mentions a really key component to this in that Gateway doesn't set all the rules around how a person would get a GED. This is a state-run program, and I want to just acknowledge Beth Lewis at the Department of Public Instruction, who has been a really strong champion for Wisconsin's advancement of the GED programs, and just recently received a very nice letter from her complimenting Cindy and Melissa for the unbelievable effort that they put together for the 509 program, which we think will provide even greater pathways for many of our citizens in our community, especially the incumbent worker ones who can demonstrate competency already and really accelerate the process to earning their GED. So great credit to the team here, but also to the Department of Public Instruction and Beth's leadership.
What kind of timeline are we talking about? From let's say, the moment that someone decides that they think they want to do this or need to do this to the moment when that piece of paper is put in their hands. What kind of a timeline are we typically talking about, or is that a difficult thing to generalize?
It's a difficult thing to generalize, and I say that because it varies. It all depends on where a student stopped off with their academics. You know, has it been 1 year since they've been out of school, or has it been 20 years since they've been out of school? We've had students come to us with, well, within 30 days, they were able to get their GED credentials, whereas we have other students that have been with us for a couple of years. And one of the things I always tell our students is, please don't get caught up in the time. You know, let's work together to make sure that the end goal is getting your credentials and then figuring out what's going to be the next step and helping you make those next steps there.
Wow. Katie, one of the things that makes this a daunting challenge is not only that there are so many adults out there right now who don't have their high school diploma, who really need it in order to be fully functioning in our society and more apt to be successful in finding a job. But, of course, that number, in a sense, is forever replenished as more and more people grow up. And as we well know, there are way too many people, young people, who, for various reasons, are not finishing up. What are the ways in which this problem can be tackled in such a way that you're maybe at some point able to kind of be ahead of the curve a little bit instead of forever trying to catch up frantically?
Absolutely. And I think Brian kind of touched on that a little bit. A lot of schools are going with this saying that we want our students to come out college and career ready. So we want them, obviously, to know the general curriculum, math, science, social studies, English, those things. But we also want them to be ready to be a functioning member of society, whether that is going into the workforce right away or pursuing a post-secondary degree. And Racine Unified's got a really great program with their Higher Expectations program. And what we're really trying to focus on, or what they're trying to focus on, is career exploration at a freshman level, where students are engaged in looking at their strengths and their skills and what industries are out there in the community, in the area, that they can fill and what industries they might fit best into, and then trying to kind of center their high school career, learning those basic skills that they need, but also real-world experience, going to college visits. I know Gateway, they're coming and doing college visits to Gateway. They're going out into the local businesses in the community, seeing what jobs are out there, what's required. So we're really trying to make students engaged in the high school experience, see the value in their high school, and the importance of how their hard work now will hopefully pay off for them in the future.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the whole idea of creating relevance to any educational pathway is critical to a learner, whether you're in middle school trying to better understand your options at high school, or high school going off into the workforce. And even here at Gateway, making sure that our programs are relevant to the types of skills and jobs that are available in our community. And the more we can integrate those services at all levels of the educational spectrum, the better off we're going to be. And so for Racine, Higher Expectations, and in Kenosha, the Strive initiative that's going on, and the partnerships we have with our K-12, and we continue to advance those relationships all the way through to the elementary schools, and bringing teachers together, finding new ways to design curriculum that's going to keep young people motivated and, you know, enhance learning environments for our students so that they do see relevance in what they're learning and they have a better appreciation for what options they have once they get out of school.
Hmm. Katie, one of the most important facets of what you do at the Workforce Development Center is reaching out to the community and trying to spread the word about this new initiative. Tell us about some of your initial efforts to do that and what kind of success you've had in connecting with people in the community who need to know this.
Absolutely. So this initial big push for the GED initiative really started last month. We've been having articles in the local papers, radio show. We've been engaging different community centers and organizations, and they're promoting the GED initiative. And it's pretty early on, but I think we're going to get a better feel of it. This week on Thursday, we're actually going to be having our GED fair at the Racine Gateway campus, which is going to be a really good gauge of our outreach efforts to see, you know, we're hoping we can get a lot of people to come to Gateway. It is from 1 to 7 at the Racine Gateway campus, and individuals can learn about the GED and adult education programs. They can get registered, enrolled, and signed up. So it's a really good way for people that are interested to learn more to reach out and come to that event.
Hmm. Cindine, for somebody who finds himself in this situation, this position where they do not have their high school diploma and they are thinking about doing this, what are the kinds of things they should be sort of thinking about, weighing in their minds in terms of trying to decide that this is something worth pursuing, and if so, how they should pursue it? I mean, what would be your advice to somebody who finds themselves in this situation?
Well, I would say stop thinking about it and come see us. So we are located on the three main campuses. We're also located in the Burlington Center. We're located at the Racine Workforce. We're located at the Kenosha Job Center. If you can't get to one of those, please stop at one of the literacy councils in your county there so that we can get connected. One thing I know when I talk with students is don't give up. You know, don't get discouraged. I'll hear from students, well, I stopped by and there wasn't anybody available. Well, did you get a schedule? Yes. Well, please come back and see us. Do not give up on that. We're not going anywhere. We're here to help you. So,
We should talk about cost because, of course, this is, I assume, something that represents some kind of cost for people who pursue this. What does it cost to gain GED certification?
Sure, absolutely. So there are five tests involved that you need to complete your GED. The total cost of those five exams combined is $145. Getting signed up with Gateway or Literacy Council, going to classes, tutoring, taking your placement test, practice tests are at no cost to an individual. The only thing that is going to cost any money would be the actual exams. However, one of the parts of my job and what this initiative is we're trying to connect individuals to community resources that help pay or offset those costs. There's already a lot of great programs out there that are paying for the cost of those exams. So we don't want that to be a reason why you're not going to pursue it. And realistically, like Cindy had mentioned, if you've been out of school for a while, you probably are going to have to go back and do a little bit of, you know, refresher and studying. So it might be, you know, off in the distance that you have to worry about those costs. So come in, get engaged, get enrolled, get the process started, and we'll figure out a way to help offset those costs if really the only barrier that you have is financial.
And does a person have to take all five exams at one time, or how could you break this up so that it's not $145 at one time?
Sure. So, I mean, you can take them. I know some people study for, they're going to focus on their English at this time, study for their English exam, and then take that test. So really it is an individualized program and process. So you take the test when you're ready to. It's probably not recommended to take all five tests in one day. That's kind of a pretty large feat for anybody. So we do recommend that you break up those exams over a time. And you know, just because it does cost money, you can take practice tests, which tells you if you are ready to take those exams, if you're most likely to pass or not. So it is only one time that you're taking them.
Sounds like there's a lot of support services that help guide people through the process. Cindy, could you comment a little bit more on the idea that there is academic tutoring, there's different levels of support and recommendations? How does it work if someone came to the Gateway campus or to the Workforce Development Center and said, I'm interested in taking my English test?
Sure. So what we end up doing is we get those students connected to one of our adult basic ed instructors. And from there, the instructor is able to work with the students. So we take them through an orientation process where we sit down and we create what's called a personal education plan. And from there, we're able to talk with the student on how often do you think you'd be able to study? How often do you think you'd be able to come in and meet with an instructor? What are your goals when it comes to completing the exams? What are your goals as far as career goes? What are your goals as far as post-secondary opportunities goes? And with those personal education plans, it's something that the instructor and the students constantly talk about. So it's not something that happens right at the beginning and nobody talks until 2 years later. So the instructors that we have here stay in constant contact with students.
So you're building an education support team as you go through the process that can not only help you complete your high school diploma, your GED, but also then transition into adult learning programs, maybe here at Gateway or other places, so you get a credential, a diploma, an associate degree, and really it helps build a support system for you personally and maybe for your entire family.
Right, and we have a great relationship. Michelle James, who's our director of testing here, and her team are wonderful to work with. So when individuals show up by her or one of her staff people wanting to do their test, they do an excellent job of making sure students know what they need to do. They talk about, yes, you probably can't take all five tests at one time, but let's get a testing plan set up and let's make sure that you're connected with one of the adult basic ed instructors.
By the way, we've talked mostly about how lack of a high school diploma is a real barrier in the workforce, in the workplace. What about, for instance, a barrier here at Gateway? I mean, if somebody shows up at Gateway and wants to take the aforementioned welding program or a nursing program or something. Does lack of a high school diploma, in a sense, make that impossible? Is the GED something that they really need to secure before they can study other programs here?
Sure. Some of our programs don't require high school credential. That's not a lot of them, but where we see the biggest impact is for those individuals that are trying to access financial aid. In order to access financial aid to help pay for college, you have to have some type of high school credential. So then that's when we'll oftentimes see individuals getting in contact with us to help get going with those high school credentials.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that go along with that, if you don't have all of the what I'll call traditional core competencies in adult basic education, math, reading, and those types of skill sets, you end up taking remedial work or preparatory work, so it takes you longer to get into the degree program, and it just extends the time that it takes in order to complete your degree. So foundational skills are absolutely critical in our programs, and our instructors will help students through that remediation process. But if we can take care of that up front, it really helps to get students into that relevancy, those courses they really want to take at a much earlier time frame.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to get rolling on this, Katie, how do they, for instance, contact the Workforce Development Center, and what are the best ways for them to access the resources that you have?
Sure, absolutely. So probably the best way to place to start would be our website. So you can go to RacineCounty.com. Under Workforce Solutions, we do have a GED tab, which does have contact information that can connect you with our GED hotline and other workers in Workforce Solutions that can assist you. I do kind of want to mention again, if you're ready to go right away, this Thursday we are having on January 19th the GED fair from 1 to 7 at the Racine Gateway campus, and that really is going to be a really good opportunity for you to connect with all the community resources. It won't only be Gateway staff, but there's also going to be community resources that can help you assist, such as childcare, transportation, different workforce programs that can help guide you and support you on your journey to get your GED.
Terrific. And Cindy Jennings, how do people contact you and your staff here at Gateway?
Like Katie said, I would recommend going to our website. So our website is www.gtc.edu, and then we have a tab out there for GED testing, and we also have a tab out there for adult basic education. And for those that like to talk to somebody in person, we do have an 800 number, so that's 800-247-7122, where you can contact our contact center, and they'll get you connected to one of our adult basic ed or testing specialists.
So. Right. And I'm assuming that there is no particular season for this. And, I mean, there are certain kinds of tests you take for various purposes, and, well, that the next test is going to be all many months from now. And but this is the kind of thing that, in a sense, people can start anytime, finish anytime. The time is now to get rolling on it, right?
That is correct. So the nice thing is, particularly here at Gateway, we are a three-semester college, so we have adult basic education instruction that takes place throughout the year, so students can start at any time with working towards their GED. The GED actual testing is done during Pearson View, and so that is a national testing company, and they offer testing any day of the week, practically, I think, except for Sundays. So,
I think it makes a terrific New Year's resolution, not only for those that might want to achieve a GED, but I would also say that if you know of someone that has not completed high school that you think would be interested in learning about the GED options that are now available, the support systems that are readily available in our community, we really need all of our listeners to help us by helping to share this message and to make sure that everyone knows that our community wants to embrace and support all learning, and that if we can find a pathway of success to help them become better engaged in employment opportunities or for their own personal growth, we're here to help support and serve.
Very well said. And since we have just a couple of extra minutes here, Cindy, I think it would be nice to make sure people understand the matter of adult basic education, all that's offered here at Gateway, and the fact that, I mean, although there's a strong connection to GED, I'm not sure that's the only purpose it serves, that there's conceivably other reasons why somebody might pursue those particular offerings. Sure. Can you say a little more about what it entails and what it can mean for somebody?
Right. Well, Brian talked a little bit about it when the question was asked about do you need your high school credential to start school at Gateway? So one of the things we also do in our adult basic education is help prepare students to build up their math skills, their reading skills, and writing skills. So we have individuals that take our placement test and discover that I didn't do so well on my math test here, and I need a little bit more skills before I actually take my first math course for my program of study. We're able to work with those students to help build up those math skills. We also have quite a few people that come to us that are looking to improve their job situation. They already have their high school credential. They also have their degree, but they're maybe getting ready to take some type of specialized testing, and so they want to brush up on their reading skills, or they want to brush up on their computer skills. So they're able to come into adult basic education. We do an assessment to see what we need to work on, put a little plan together to help those people build their skill set. So,
and I think part of one of the challenges, even with the GED initiative, are individuals that might not be proficient in English, and our ELL services are critically important, because that sometimes can be the first barrier. If I have a difficult time reading and understanding, how could I possibly do the math or the civics exams?
Exactly.
You know, one thing that I really miss is that when the radio station used to be located in the multipurpose building, most of this work was done right next door to us in the old gymnasium, which was kind of set up in these different classroom modules. And it was really interesting and inspiring to be sort of on hand, kind of behind the scenes or in the background, as you would see these people coming in. And we would sometimes, in a sense, get to kind of eavesdrop on the many exchanges that would occur. And it really gave you a sense that of how transformative this kind of work can be for somebody. I mean, that is, for somebody who wants to better themselves, their situation in life, that this can make all the difference in the world, and that it has to be so gratifying for you and your colleagues who get to help facilitate that.
It is. Just to share just a brief story, we have a young lady that's working on our Kenosha campus and our ABE Open Lab, where students are able to drop in and work with instructors, staff members, to work towards their GED or build their skill level. She started off in our ELL program, and she went on for her GED, and she just graduated this past December with her associate degree in marketing. And now she's coming back to help our ELL students get connected to the services that we have in our open labs there, and help them move forward with either getting their credentials or post-secondary career, whatever it is that they're trying to do.
I love stories like that. You know, you think about you know, the most motivated and engaged learners, and if someone's really passionate and made a commitment to better their lives through getting their high school credential, they are motivated, self-motivated, and they know that that opportunity is going to provide them greater resources down the road. They just become a part of the Gateway community, and they get to meet people, and they get networked, and they feel confident about what they're doing, and the credential becomes sort of the sideline component that they're trying to get, but it's all these other things that happen in their lives that help reinforce their overall continued growth.
That are just as valuable.
Right.
And Katie, I'm sure in the work that you do at the Workforce Development Center, you probably have a similar sense of satisfaction of being part of something really important.
Absolutely. And it's just important to note that if you're ready for that, if you're self-motivated, ready, there are ton of support services out there that we will guide you every step of the way. We will connect you to those services that you need, so you're not alone in this journey. We really want you to start that next kind of that next start of your life.
Let's reiterate the websites that people should visit. Katie at the Workforce Development Center
in
Racine County.
RacineCounty.com/GED.
Great. And Cindy here at Gateway for you?
www.gtc.edu, and you can type in GED testing or adult basic education.
Very good. Sinding Jensen is Dean of Developmental Education here at Gateway, and Katie Kasperzik is GED Outreach Coordinator for the Racine County Workforce Development Center. Great to have both of you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And President Brian Albrecht, great as always. We'll see you next month.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg. We want to remind you that the morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. Among the interesting interviews that are coming up this week is a conversation that we will broadcast on Thursday with Bruce Matthews, legendary offensive lineman in the NFL, played 19 seasons, part of the greatest NFL family of them all. He has a father who played for the NFL, a brother, and three sons, and two nephews, one of which is Clay Matthews III, the great linebacker for the Green Bay Packers. You'll hear my conversation with him on Thursday's morning show. That is with Bruce Matthews, the author of a new memoir. Support for the WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto.